Turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, say amen. Amen. Hold it up nice and high. You got your Bibles, hold it up nice and high. Very good. Amen. Amen. Remember that song, the B-I-B-L-E? Yes, that's the book for me. Amen. It stood the test of time. And it is the book. It is our final authority for faith and practice. So glad that we can open the Word of God this morning. Acts chapter 2, and we're studying the book of Acts now as our theme for 2019 is Church on a Mission. And so we're going back to the first New Testament church there in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, we see one of the most popular verses in Acts chapter 2. We're going to stay right there, maybe even for this evening, depending how it goes. I know the clock is broke, so we'll see. We might be able to finish it, but we'll see, maybe in this evening as well. But Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Let's do some background before we get into that verse. Understand that Jesus has just, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus has just let them know that they ought to be witnesses. And the Holy Ghost was going to come upon them. They went into the upper room. After Jesus ascended into heaven, they went back to the upper room. They started praying, and the Holy Ghost came in. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They were indwelled with the Holy Ghost. They began to preach. And speak in tongues. We talked about them speaking in tongues, and they began to do that. And then Peter spoke and preached to them about the gospel. That's what we talked about. What do you do with the gospel? And we have the Word of God. We have the gospel. We ought to accept it. We ought to give it and love it and live it and thank the Lord for the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you don't know and understand what is the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the good news that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, and that he did that for you. That is the gospel. Amen. The gospel is not food and blankets for people in Africa. That's great things. That's positive things. That's not the gospel. Okay? The gospel is not some positive message, some inspirational message you get every morning from your favorite podcast. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and rose again for you. That we can accept him as our personal Savior. That's the gospel. And we saw that Peter preached the gospel. Let me say this. As a church, we ought to continue to preach the gospel. And in fact, if we don't continue to preach the gospel, then we cease to being a true New Testament church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Let's read it together, Acts 2, 42. Ready? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Let's go, Lord, in prayer as we speak this morning on a steadfast church. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to have a relationship with you. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to have fellowship with you. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive me of my shortcomings, my sins. Lord, use me this morning, I pray, in a great way. Do what I cannot do. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know for sure if they die, they go to heaven, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. Lord, you know the hearts. I don't. You've given me the message to preach. Lord, I pray that you'll speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And here we come to the church of Jerusalem and at the very, very beginning of the church. Imagine everything's kind of new. You come to Temple Baptist Church, you know what to expect. Can you imagine the first church and everything was just kind of new? You don't know what to expect. The visitors are here. This is your first time coming to Temple Baptist Church. You have no idea what to expect. I can't wait to see your faces when we bring the snakes out at the end of the service. I'm just joking. You have no idea what to expect at Temple Baptist Church if you're visiting for the very first time. Think of that. How many of you ever visited a church before and you had no idea what to expect, right? You've done that. Imagine you now, as a visitor, you kind of know, okay, that's an independent fundamental Baptist, all right? You're probably surprised at how crazy the pastor is at an independent fundamental Baptist church, but you kind of know what the church is. But in that day, they just kind of, okay, I don't know what to expect. Thousands were saved. That's exciting. Imagine the prospect list, Owen. Huh? Imagine the visitation night. Yet thousands were saved. And it says later on that daily they met in house to house. They had service daily. So what he's saying, they could not get enough of the Word of God. May we get back to that mentality where we as Christians, as we as a church, can't get enough of God's Word and have that kind of attitude and spirit. I remember as we started a church in Kilmarnock, there's a young man when I got there, didn't want anything to do with Christ. He was hurt deeply by a pastor. Let me say this. When you're hurt by man, that can be expected. But God won't hurt you. Put your trust in God. Somebody in this church may do you wrong, may say something wrong. I hope not. I pray they won't. But that's just man. And I hear a lot of people, they get out of church because what a man did to them. It's all about God. Well, you shouldn't be here because of a man and because of what men do, but because of what God does, what God is for us. But can you imagine? They were in that church. They couldn't get enough of the gospel. And this young man that was there, he had left this church. Didn't want anything to do with the church anymore. Pastor hurt him. Finally, he came back one Sunday. And came back again. Came back again. We started him a men's Bible study. He said, I'm going to try that. He came back again. And after about 3 months of coming back, he came to me weeping and said, Pastor Creed, I just cannot get enough of the Word of God. I just can't get enough of it. And finally said, what can I do? I said, well, there's a Bible program online you could take, and it's through a college. So I got him hooked up with the Bible college. He started taking that, and God called him to preach, and now he pastors Bayshore Baptist Church. And these people, they couldn't get enough of the Word of God. It was daily for them. And they wanted to meet daily about the Word of God. All their conversations were about the Word of God. And as you could tell, the first church, it was a steadfast church. And by the way, it's not steadfast is not about our finances. Oh, it's quiet now. Being steadfast is not about can the church pay the bills? This is a nice building. And I thank the Lord for all that that everybody gives, and by the through the heart, we see that people tithe from the heart and from loving God, and we're so thankful for people that give, and that this church is set up, and the organization of this church and the finances. We're thankful for that. But I want to tell you, that's not the steadfastness of the church. That doesn't make the church steadfast. So what does? We see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in what? Now let's deal with that word continue. Continue. It just wasn't just continuing, but it was continuing steadfastly, wasn't it? There's a difference sometimes as Christians, and we'll get going and then we'll stop, and we'll get going and stop, and we'll get going and stop, or we'll get steered away. But this church, they continued steadfastly. That, by the way, that was a decision they made, not on the run. That was a decision they made and they had settled in their life that they're going to continue and continue steadfastly. And then we see what they continue steadfastly in. We saw they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the apostles, what you say, what are you talking about, Pastor Greed? The apostles' doctrine. What is that dealing with, Pastor Greed? When we started Bayshore Baptist Church in Virginia, that there was a meeting we had, and we had to come to a decision on our constitution. We had to come to a decision on the doctrines that we believed in, and then we had a service. where everybody come and signed a letter and a list that we believed in this doctrine and that doctrine that we believed. And you say, what doctrine was that? That was simply from the Word of God. That's not a doctrine that we make up, that we pull from the cloud, that we feel is right. It's a doctrine that's founded and settled on the Word of God. And same thing here at Temple Way Baptist Church. The doctrine that we believe here is settled on the Word of God. It's founded on the Word of God. We can't get off that doctrine. They were steadfast in doctrine. Number one, they were steadfast in doctrine. A steadfast church must first of all be steadfast in doctrine. By the way, let me say this. Emotion and feeling can never replace the doctrine of the Word of God. Emotion and feeling can never replace the doctrine of the Word of God. By the way, there are some great churches that preach the right doctrine, but they are mean and hateful and spiteful to people. And there are churches that don't preach the right doctrine, but they're sweet and kind and nice to people. May I say this? The ones that preach the wrong doctrine are sweet and kind, are nice to people. Those are the churches that have more people. Doctrine is really important, but with the right spirit. You have to have the right spirit. We're going to get to that in a moment, but the doctrine must be right. You say, what doctrine do you believe in? What doctrine do we believe? We believe in the Word of God as our final authority for faith and practice. What a great song this morning. The Bible stands. That's why we choose this book. That's why we choose the Word of God as our final authority for faith and practice. You say, well, Pastor Creed, you know, I really don't believe this. Show me in the Bible. Pastor Creed, I believe this way and that way. Show me in the Bible. The Scriptures. Why? Because the Word of God will not return unto him void. It's not vain when we preach the Word of God. We must stand strong on God's word. We're thankful for the word of God. By the way, every word out of the Word of God. Every word out of the Word of God. I'm so thankful for God's love letter to us. Once we start reading the words and studying God's word, by the way, it's not just reading God's word, it's studying God's word and understanding God's word. Once we start reading and understanding God's word, we see it's all about Jesus Christ. It points us to Calvary. In the Old Testament, it points us forward to Calvary. In the New Testament, it points us back to Calvary. It's all centered about Calvary and the cross, Jesus Christ. That's how our lives ought to be centered. We get it from the foundation of the Word of God. We also believe here in salvation. We believe in salvation. All right, there's a lot of different beliefs about salvation. So I want to make it clear what we believe at Temple Baptist Church about salvation. We believe that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It is by grace through faith. It is by grace. What does grace mean? Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. How many deserve salvation this morning? Anybody? Yeah. We don't deserve salvation. Giving us what we don't deserve. What is faith? Faith is us putting our trust in God. We haven't tangibly or fleshly seen God. We see the evidence of God, but we haven't seen God with our own eyes. But we put our faith, we trust in Him, even without seeing Him with our own eyes. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross. I mean, remember when you were saved, you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to understand in Ephesians chapter 2, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now I want you to look at this verse. It says, not of what? works, not of works. So, Pastor Greg, what does that mean? That means I cannot fulfill certain penance that get me to heaven. I cannot fulfill a certain quota of church services that get me to heaven. I cannot be a good enough person to get to heaven. It's not the work of me, but the work of Christ that gets me to heaven. Not of my works. Not of anything that I can do. My best day is as filthy rags. But it's of Jesus Christ. And we must understand that we are all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must realize that that is our sin nature. We're sinners and that there's a punishment for that. There's a consequence for that. And that's death. Eternal death. We believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us so that we didn't have to experience that death. And all we have to do is accept Christ as our personal Savior. Put our faith and trust in Him. By the way, we believe that it is a choice, that everybody has a choice, that God did not elect certain people to go to heaven and certain people to go to hell. Reformed theology, Calvinism, is not biblical. Reformed theology, Calvinism, by the way, is a false doctrine, straight from the pits of hell. Amen. We do not believe that. We believe salvation is a choice. It's a choice, and God gives us that choice. I'm glad I gave my wife a choice to love me. I'm glad my wife gave me a choice to love her. If it's not a choice, it's not love. It's not love. Salvation through Christ, through Jesus Christ. And by the way, I want to say this. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want you to see this. Verse 13. For whosoever, don't you love the word whosoever? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. No. Could be saved unless they sin. No. What does that mean? What does that say? Shall be saved. When you are saved, the Bible teaches us that we are in Christ. What does that mean? Christ is responsible for holding our salvation, not us. If we're responsible for holding our salvation, we'll lose it. We are in Christ. We are in the family of God. I'm glad I have a father. I'm thankful for my father. My father one time told me to go cut the grass. I wanted to play video games. Yeah, you're one of them, huh? I want to go play video games. And I thought, well, I got plenty of time. I got 15 minutes. I'll go cut it. I want to play one more game. I got 5 minutes. I think I can get out there and get it done. I'll get working. My dad won't care as long as I'm doing it. He came to the house. He was home 5 minutes early. Guess what he did? He kicked me out of the family. He said, you're not a Creed anymore. Did he do that? No, he didn't. You know what he did? He lovingly whooped me. Not spanked. That was the next generation. He lovingly whooped me. Lovingly whooped me. You say, what does that mean, Pastor Creed? That means he loved me. Jesus Christ loves you. He knows you're in the flesh. He knows we still have battles in the flesh. But he holds our salvation. And when we get off track, he will discipline us because he loves us. But we're not kicked out of the family of God. You're not removed from the family of God. Thank the Lord for that. We believe in salvation. We believe in the Bible. We believe in baptism. We believe in baptism. By the way, let me say this. Baptism is not part of salvation. Baptism is a symbol of salvation. Baptism is a symbol of new life in Christ. Baptism is a symbol of an obedient life to Christ. As you're in the baptismal, the water crosses your body. That is the cross that Jesus Christ died on. That symbolizes the cross. And then we bury them in the water, amen? They go down underneath the water, and then they come out of the water. Going into the water is the burial of Jesus Christ. Coming out of the water is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ rose again? And it symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after salvation, after we're saved and we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, then we get baptized. Now, I know that I try to help people along with baptism, but after you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior for salvation, here's what you need to know about baptism before you get baptized. Jesus commanded it. You obey it. Very simple. If you have faith in God for your salvation, you also have to have faith in God to get baptized and to follow and obey Him. In believer's baptism. Now, baptism is important in a Christian's life. It is the first step after salvation of obedience. We believe in the Bible that it is inerrant, infallible, inspired, a complete word of God. The word of God is the final authority of our faith and practice, and we teach from the King James Bible. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're going to stay and continue steadfastly on the doctrine of the Trinity. That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are three in one. Three distinct people in one. And we believe in the Trinity. The Trinity. We believe in the autonomy of the local New Testament church. Established by and on Jesus Christ. We don't believe that this church is built on Peter. We believe that this church is built on the rock of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church. The New Testament church is built on Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of this church. Jesus Christ is the one that began this church. This is not a local club. This is a local church. You get me? This is not a local group of people that just come together and have fellowships and have dinners together. This is a local church that have something to do. We believe in the local church. We believe in the great commission of the local church. That we are called out to do something for Christ. World evangelism. I love the missionary letters on the back. I'd love those missionary letters to extend all the way up here to the front. We have certain areas of the world that we don't support missionaries in. I want to find them. I want to support a missionary there. Why? Because we are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But that starts where? That starts at your place of employment. That starts with your neighbors. That starts with the people around you. That starts with your family. We are a church that is committed to the Great Commission. And if we're going to continue steadfastly, we have to continue steadfastly with the Great Commission. We have to continue steadfastly. I'm excited about the missions conference. It's a pastor 7 months away. I'm still excited. I cannot wait. I love the missions conference. I hope and pray that you get as excited as I am about the missions conference. And I know some of you are. I know some of you are. But it's exciting for me to have a missions conference. Why? Because we're obeying God. We get to obey to God and give to God through world evangelism. We believe that Jesus makes intercession between us and God. And through Him, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. I believe in prayer, don't you? I believe in the power of prayer. We believe that Jesus will return in the clouds for His children before the tribulation. We believe that every Christian ought to be involved in the church, an opportunity to teach and be involved in the church. Amen? We believe in the doctrine of God. Now watch this. Doctrine is above preference. We should stop majoring on preferences and continue majoring on the doctrine. Pastor Creed has preferences. I have a preference. I prefer to wear a tie when I preach. I don't think it's a doctrine. I've heard some great preachers without a tie. I don't look down on them. I think they're great. Wonderful. That's a preference. I don't get hung up on preferences. Amen? You know, there's all kinds of preferences out there. And watch this. It's preferences that tear a church apart. Somebody had a, we had ladies go out and pick the color of the, when we painted the atrium. I'm sure different ladies had different preferences. But we didn't have, I didn't say, okay, ladies, all right, we're going to have a Royal Rumble up on the stage, and whoever wins, that's the color we're going to have. We didn't do that. There wasn't a fight about it. We didn't do it. Why? Because we put our preferences aside and we stand on the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's continually steadfast on the apostles' doctrine, not the apostles' preference. It's getting a little quiet in here. Maybe it's not your preference to say amen. That's okay. But too many times we see people torn away because of preferences. By the way, we shouldn't look down or down our nose at people because of preferences, but we ought to believe in the doctrine. What do you believe? We must be together and steadfast in our doctrine. Number two. This is important. I think we'll stop with this one. They were steadfast in fellowship. They were steadfast in fellowship. This was not a church of cliques. Too many times we walk in churches, and I've been in many different churches, and there are certain bubbles that you just cannot get in. Certain cliques. You just cannot break. You say, well, Pastor, we just don't have the same likes as that person. Pastor, we just don't have anything in common. Turn your Bibles to Philippians. Philippians. It says in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh to the what? Gospel of Christ. That whether I come and I see you or else be absent, I pray or I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in how many spirits? One spirit. With how many minds? One mind. What's the next two words? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Go back to the beginning of that verse. Only let your conversation be as it becometh to the what? Gospel. That's great. We just don't have anything in common. Are you saved? Then you have the most important thing in common. Because Jesus died for you, just like Jesus died for you. Jesus died for the ladies, as he died for the men. Jesus died for those who are black, brown, as he did for the whites. He died for the poor and the rich. So who are you to break fellowship with another Christian in your church for no good reason? And we stick our nose up in the air and we think we're just all another level Christian than those people. We're just a step above them. And we break God's heart. If we only could see ourselves as God sees us, we're just filthy rags dressed up in nice ties and suits and dresses, nice hairs, just filthy rags. God loves us. God cares for us, all of us. If only we can love each other like God loves us. Fellowship. One spirit, one mind. I wonder if there's anybody in here. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't wonder if there's anybody in here that needs to get alone with somebody and just ask for forgiveness. Maybe you've talked about them in a private time in a way you should not have. Maybe you said something you should not have said to them or behind their back. And maybe you need to get alone with them and ask for forgiveness. By the way, it doesn't go like this. I said this, but it was because you did this. That's not asking forgiveness. I'm completely 100% sorry. I'm in control of only my actions and reactions. I'm not in control of what you do to me. Would you please forgive me of my actions? You say, why? How can we do that? Because our foundation is the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ died for all of us. We have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. We are brothers and sisters in the same family. We ought to be doing and going after the same thing, seeing other people saved and discipled. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way, doesn't it? Sometimes things get in the way of that. We want and want and want when it comes to fellowship, don't we? Well, I just don't know if that person can bring me any joy. I don't know what that relationship with that person will offer me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. A middle school teacher asked her class to write imaginative definitions of a friend. Imaginative definitions of a friend, these were the descriptions she wrote. They wrote, a friend is a pair of open arms in a society of armless people. A friend is a warm bedroll on a cold and frosty night. A friend is a mug of hot coffee on a damp, cloudy day. Amen. I like that friend. A friend is a beautiful orchard in the middle of the desert. A friend is a hot bath after you have walked 20 miles on a dusty road. An ingenious teenager who was tired of reading bedtime stories to his little sister decided to record several of her favorite stories on tape. He told her, now you can hear your stories anytime you want. Isn't that great? That little girl looked at the machine for a moment and then replied, no, it's not. You see, it doesn't have a lap. We can never manufacture fellowship. We can never fake true fellowship. It has to be founded on Jesus Christ and the fact that we are saved, accepted Christ, and wanting to serve Him. I want to show you something. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to give you this in closing. I preached on or taught this to the men on missions, and I've spoken to some of you about this, but I want you to really get this. This will be the last thought, and when it comes to fellowship, this is extremely important. Extremely important. In fact, when it comes to everything we do in the church, it's extremely important. It says in verse number 1, chapter 5, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now, how many of you have ever heard of a man named LeBron James? Yeah? How many of you have never heard of LeBron James before? We have one. LeBron James is a basketball player. How many of you ever heard of a man named Benjamin Creed before? Yeah. Benjamin Creed plays basketball. You see the difference? There's a difference, isn't there? LeBron James is dedicated to that game. I mean, that's what he does. Every day, every morning, he's thinking basketball. That's his life. That's his doctrine, is basketball. Everything about it, his jump shot, his dunk, his body is geared toward the game of basketball. Benjamin, not so much. But we come to this verse, in verse number 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God." Does it say follow God or be followers? Huh? It says, "Be ye therefore followers." There's a difference, isn't there? Following and being a follower. There's a difference there. See, a follower it's going to be a part of them. It's going to be what they eat and drink and sleep. It's part of their life is following Christ. Why do they do that? The Bible says, as dear children. Then look at the next verse, verse 2. And walk in what? Love. Three things. Your motive matters. Your motive matters. Many times people think, well, I do what I do because I want to perform. Performance. That's the wrong motive. You say, why? Because we can do and do and do and do and never finish. How many know that we can soul win all day long? We'll never win the whole world to Christ. There's always going to be somebody lost to go after. We look at performance and we start looking at our performance versus somebody else. It's not healthy. Performance should not be your motive. Now, performance is good. It has its place. In your business, how many of you work? You have performance reviews. Right? And performance is good sometimes, but it should not be the driving force behind what you do in your church. What about debt? I ask people, how many of you owe God? Do you owe God anything? People say usually say something like, we owe him our life. Let me ask you something. Is salvation free? Is salvation free? If salvation is free, how much do you owe God? See, God didn't put the down payment on the salvation and give you the debt book and say, pay me back. I didn't do that. How does God want you to serve him? With what motive? Walk in what? Love. So I'm not doing here at the church because I want to perform. I'm not doing here at the church because I owe God. I'm doing here at the church, and what I do when I live for Christ, when I live for Christ and when I fellowship with others and come together, I do it because I love God. Not because I want to perform, not because I owe a debt that I'll never be able to pay off, but because I love God. Why do people go to a fair week in and week out and set up a table and get ridiculed? Because they love God. Why does someone run around the church like a chicken with his head cut off and sets up a youth rally and does youth activities and cares for the kids and visits them? Why does he do that? Because he loves God. Why do we get on our knees and pray for our school and pray for our families to get saved? And why do we do that? Because we ought to love God. Now watch this. When we love God, we'll continue. We'll continue. When our motive is we love God, we're doing this out of love for God, we will continue. How many of you ever gone by a table and seen trash on the table? If I walked by a table and saw a piece of paper with scribble scrabble on that piece of paper, you know what I do? I take that piece of paper, I ball it up, and I throw it away. I don't know who left this piece of trash here. It probably was John Morgan. But then, what if my son Hudson came up and said, "Daddy, I drew you something. I colored this for you." He didn't stay in the lines. But you know what he did? He did it out of love. I didn't tell him to do that. I have coloring sheets in my house, up on the refrigerator, different places that colored by my kids. They didn't stay in the lines, but they did it out of love. They did it out of love. And God looks at us. We may not be perfect, but when our motive is love, God accepts that obedience. And we can continue steadfastly. May our motive be love for God. Help us to continue in our apostles' doctrine. Help us to continue in our fellowship with one another. Continue steadfastly. Let's pray.